You're in tune to KDWA, FM 97.7, AM 1460. It's time for the Tim Collins Show. We have on the phone live and direct from School District 200, Mr. Tim Collins. Tim, thank you for joining us. How are you today, sir?
Well, I'm doing great, and partial week one with students is about wrapping up, and, we've had another great start to the school year, and I've talked about this every year, but again this year, specifically with transportation and as we're routing, and as the Hastings Bus Company does just a fabulous job for us. But I don't know if you know this, but we still have students enrolling and registering today, and that can throw the routes off a little bit. Or we have them registering last Thursday and Friday right before Labor Day, and it gets really complicated and, hectic. Picture yourself planning a bus route, and all of a sudden you have five more stops on that route. It just might mathematically not work, and or now the bus is overloaded, and you just can't change that in one day. So, again, we've received just a few calls, but we appreciate the fact that that parents get it. They're patient. And as always, you're definitely hoping that it's not raining on that first day or two of school.
Now, how long does it take them to get, you're exactly right. It's new for everything. A couple days, you think, to get everything going?
You know what? It'll take definitely into next week before Terry, they go out and they're doing bus counts all the time to see how many students are riding. And actually what then does help is on a rainy day, because that's when you'll have full capacity on the bus. Because right now it's a beautiful day. Some students they're riding their bikes. Some students are walking. And so even though we're doing bus load counts right now, or I should say that the bus company is, we really know the true situation of the bus capacity and the bus loads when it actually does rain. So always thankful that the first few days of school it's not raining, because then it's then you're not quite as patient if you're standing out in the rain with your first grader or second grader waiting for that bus to come. And usually the buses, they're going to be a few minutes late on those first few days as everything is getting ironed out. But again, our parents, I just want to thank them for the patience. They know that eventually we do get it straightened out. And then sometimes what happens is, let's say it rains next Wednesday or Thursday, and we find out that the bus loads are more than what they should be, then we've got to, not we, but the bus company has to contact some parents and change the routes and change the number of the bus and the pickup time to balance it out. And change doesn't always come with great acceptance, but again, parents understand that, hey, at least my child will have a seat now. And it'll be safe for them. So again, just thank you to all the parents who understand. We added two kindergarten teachers last Wednesday. And the reason for that, 3 weeks ago, we had 250 kindergarten students registered. And I don't ever want to overstaff, because if your typical first year position costs, $65,000 with health insurance and Social Security, TRA, all those things, you don't want to overstaff and cost the district $130,000 for the year if you have two teachers. So we wait and we understaff because still in elementary, you're still able to hire strong, there's still a strong candidate pool even late in the year. That's not true in special education. It's not true in math and science, but it is true yet in elementary in a suburban school district. So we wait. And with about a week to go before school, I think we had 30 to 38 more kindergarten students enroll. And that was going to push the numbers up to around 23 to 24, which I can tell you, Dan, 15 years ago, we lived with 23 to 24 students in kindergarten because we had to. But right now, because we do have a fund balance, we don't have to live with 23 to 24 students. And so then we added a teacher at JFK Elementary in kindergarten, and we added a teacher at Pinecrest Elementary. And again, then what that means is Principal Latch and Principal Baker now have to call some of the students from the other that originally were told that, you know, they're going to maybe have Amanda Mall as a kindergarten teacher and say that, you know, we've made a decision, we have to move three students out of each class to form another class, and now your child will have, you know, this new teacher. And so again, I did not hear one complaint about that. Parents understand it, and 99% of the parents understand, hey, I'd rather have my child in a class of 18 students than 24. I get it. But once in a while over the years, Dan, there's been a situation where a parent really wanted teacher X, and now they're being told, because their other sons or daughters had teacher X, and now they're being told that they have to go to another teacher. But again, the patience of our parents, they get it. And, you know, in my time of being a superintendent, Dan, there's probably about three or four things that have really changed over my career. And this is definitely one of them, and that is the fluidity of parents moving more frequently than ever before, because they don't stay in jobs as long as before. You know, Dan, when you and I were growing up, wouldn't you say that most parents moved to a community and probably lived there 20 to 30 years?
We did. We have a caller on the line, Tim. We have Lynette that is going to ask Tim a question. Good morning, Lynette. You're live on the air with Tim Collins. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, Tim, I was just wondering if you have any insight into the middle school, I guess I call it an issue of what's going on in the morning, that they're holding the kids outside till 7:45 a.m. and, you know, the reasoning behind that, and if they're looking into changing that. It just doesn't seem like it's giving the kids enough time to do what they need to do in the morning inside the school.
Great question, and I actually, before we went on the air, I told Dan that that was one of the things, the three things that I was going to talk about. And so thank you for calling the question. We have had several parents call us about that. But one of the things at the middle school that's been happening, not only this year, but it's been happening for years, is that parents do drop off at the middle school sometimes at 6:45 in the morning, sometimes at 7, sometimes at 7:15. And, of course, we know it's because they have to drop their child off and they have to get to work. At our other sites, the elementary, we have Kids Campus. So at those sites, we can say to the parents, you know what, you just can't be dropping your child off at 7:10 or whatever it might be. You need to enroll in Kids Campus. At the high school, of course, by the time they're juniors and seniors, a lot of them have their own cars and they're driving, and so we don't have a lot of students coming real early in the morning. We do have a few. And so, and then we have a courtesy bus at the middle school, too, that's dropping off. So one of the things that the principals and staff were talking about, again, we've talked about this in other years, is for safety issues, so that students aren't, you know, roaming through the buildings on second floor where a situation could occur, whether it be, you know, nowadays vaping or somebody punches another student, even though our, you know, knock on wood, we're pretty much haven't had much violence at our middle school since I've been here. But those things can happen, so they were trying to control it. And I know that the middle school and Steve Kovach as a principal had started out on those first 2 days with, you know, saying that students couldn't be until 7:45. And of course, I went and talked with Steve, and I said that's fine when the weather's beautiful, but what happens in a situation where it's 5 below or it's raining, et cetera. So they've been continuing to try to massage it. And actually today he and I were going to meet again late this morning after the radio show so I could find out more about what changes that they have made. I do believe now that they're letting students in prior to 7:45, and they're trying to move them, whether it be to the cafeteria or to the gymnasium with paid supervision. And then one of the things that happened on the second day when they said, okay, you can come in and you can go to the cafeteria, there were so many students here at that time that the students that wanted to eat breakfast, there was no spot for them to sit down. So then the next day they changed the plan to where some students would go to the cafeteria for supervision, some would go to the gymnasium for supervision. So again, they're trying to massage it and get just some controlled supervision so that we don't have a liability issue. And quite honestly, right now, as of today, I don't know what they switched it to, but I did tell Steve that I knew the 7:45 holding outside was not going to work on a five below day or when it's raining out, and or we could have just as much of a liability situation outside when you have 400 kids standing all in one area outside too. That's not a good situation either. So thank you for calling in and asking the question. It is something that we still need to work and massage the wrinkles on.
Thank you.
Okay. All righty. Thank you for calling, Lynette. If anybody does have a question for Tim, please give us a call. You can call us here at 651-437-1460. And Tim will answer your question. All righty. Moving on, Tim. We were talking about last-minute teacher staffing. What else was on our list today? We took care of another one here. Okay, I'm telling you. This, we have, let's see here. Okay, let's try this again. Okay. Okay, I think you're back, Tim. Boy, I don't know what's going on with this phone today. It couldn't be operator error, could it?
I'm having more issues today than I've had all week.
I'm having more, yeah, I am too with this phone.
I'm just going to go home so that more issues don't keep coming.
Boy, it's one of those days, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I again, in this radio show, that's what I've loved over the years, is so that people can call in and ask the question and, you know, get it right from me. And, again, you know, change isn't easy. And, you know, one of the things, too, I know that Principal Kovach explained, too, that we have, you know, one of the reasons, you know, for the safety issue was saying that we do have construction workers in the building, too. And I think that people then, you know, read that and felt that that was maybe the only reason that we were doing this was because of the contractors being in the building. And quite honestly, Steve and I talked. Steve was a first-year principal last year. He and I had talked about this during the year. We talked about it at the end of the year. You know, he said in coming here from other schools where he had been a principal, he couldn't believe the freedom that students had in the morning, and he was really concerned about the liability. So this was going to be something that he and the administration at the middle school were going to work on this year, regardless of whether or not construction was going on in the middle school. But of course, when you have contractors walking around in the morning, it does heighten the reason for the liability concern even more. So again, I know that parents had read that email and felt that the only reason we were doing it was for construction, but no, this has been an ongoing concern, and it's been mainly, as I said, at our middle school site, because our other three elementary sites do have kids campus where parents can drop off, and most high school students can get their find a way to school either by driving or catching a ride with a friend, and most high school students want to arrive at 5 minutes prior to the start of the bell.
Yeah, I was surprised that some of those students are winding up there, what, 40 minutes before the start of school?
Yeah, and I get it.
Okay.
You're a single, I mean, I totally get it. If you're a single parent and you've got to get to your job in downtown Minneapolis and your job starts at 8 and you need parking and you live, you know, a mile and a half or 2 miles away from the school, you don't have a lot of options. I understand that. It does make it difficult. And even if you're not a single parent, most of our parents, both of them work. And or they have a younger sibling that their day doesn't start at McAuliffe till 9 o'clock or 8:50, whatever that might be, or at JFK Elementary. And so now you've got to stay home with your 6-year-old, or they got to throw them in the car. So I get all the variables and the problems, and so I said to the board, and the board understands it too, that if we as a district have to pay some money in the morning to have supervision, then that's what we do. And we also have to realize we have kids coming from some situations where they're riding their bike that early in the morning, or they're walking that far in the morning, and they are getting their 15 minutes early, but they don't have a mom or dad to drop them off at that time, or, you know what I mean, they're coming from some tough family situations, and or maybe they want to get to school early because this is a safe place for them. And so we need to take some of that into consideration as well. So, again, it was, I'll say, controlled, a little bit of chaos for the first few days as we were trying to massage and change and come up with different plans. And because the first plan wasn't working, the second plan wasn't working, and now I need to find out if the third plan is working. So we'll eventually get it and try to meet the needs of our parents. But again, to have junior high students in the building, you know, 45 minutes to an hour before the school starts, I think most people understand that can be a liable situation.
Especially with contractors walking around and everything. Right. I want to thank Lynette for calling in and going right to the source for the question instead of, you know, people are known these days to get on social media and start saying things that aren't true. But thank you, Lynette, for calling and for getting the answers live from the person that has the answers. Well,
yeah,
trying to get the answer, figure them out anyway.
During the week, I had a couple parents email me, too, and I appreciate that. And, you know, they do it in a very nice, professional, courteous way. I know the one gentleman, he just sent me an email, and he said, Tim, this 7:45 holdout isn't going to work in the winter. That's all I'm saying. And I responded back and said, I agree with you, sir. I've never met you, but I agree with you 100%. We're going to work on it and massage it.
Gee, now I'm thinking there's one less news story we're going to have. Just kidding. Just kidding.
The other thing, we did have a work session this week. It was up at the high school. It was purposely up at the high school. You know, we like what happened at the middle school with our locker rooms and the privacy of our bathrooms and the privacy of our showers. So Wold did some potential sketches, concept designs of what bathrooms could look like up at the high school, what the shower locker rooms could look at, and they had some preliminary costs. You know, right now we're approximately $2 million under budget on our bond projects so far. Of course, the middle school is the biggest one, so there still could be some hiccups there. But if we do have some money left over, I know that one of the priorities that the board is going to, you know, look at down the road here in March and April, and that is bringing more privacy to bathrooms and showers and locker rooms up at the high school. Unfortunately, that $2 million will only go so far. It even blows my mind, you know, Wold had a sketch of all the bathrooms that there are up at the high school. And I don't know why, but in my mind, I was thinking, there's probably about eight bathrooms, you know, up at the high school, outside of the bathrooms that are also located in the shower and locker rooms. But there's, you know, with three different levels, there's 13 bathrooms. And so when anybody who knows remodeling a home, your bathroom and your kitchen are your two most expensive. And so there'd be no way that we could, with that amount of money, bring that privacy to all the bathrooms and showers, but we could definitely look at doing some of it. And then the last thing, and I know Augie's probably waiting.
No, he's not.
Oh, he's not?
No. Nope.
Then the last thing that the board talked at the work session about the process for the interim superintendent that will be here. Interim is like a substitute superintendent for 5 to 6 months, basically January through June. They talked about what process of whether or not we look to do it with somebody internal, whether we go external, and then does the board themselves lead that process, or do they let the Minnesota School Boards Association lead the process with them, then meeting a couple of candidates probably in late November, early December. And the board said that they'd prefer to move with go with an external candidate because anybody who's licensed currently with us internally, they have a job right now. And then they said that, yes, let's go with the Minnesota School Boards Association, They're a professional organization that we're a member of. They know the questions that should be asked. They know the applicants that are out there. They know their history. They know their background. And so let's do that. I think the total cost to have them do that was $2,500. And you know, I think people have to understand that even if we advertise or part of that $2,500 is that MSBA is going to be posting it on our behalf. And for us to post and advertise, whether it be for teaching positions, whether it be for principal positions, whenever you do those postings, whenever you do those advertising, there's a cost to that. So the $2,500 really is not a very high cost when applying and running a process for the interim superintendent. So the board did decide to go that direction as well. So I just thought I'd share that with the community as well.
All righty. And with that, I don't know, I don't see Augie. Well, it looks like he just popped in here. Zach is here. He's all set. He's got a smile on his face because the invincible Chicago Bears were defeated by who last night?
The Green Bay Packers.
Gee, I wonder how that happened. And I'm purposely not keeping Augie. I'm keeping Augie off the air because once he gets on, none of us are going to be able to have, we're not going to have a chance to say anything about it. So,
well, all I know is everyone's beating Augie in football picks, and I wasn't even here.
That's true. That's true. He was. Yeah. Okay. Well, we should have Augie on the phone. Okay. Well, I was actually using this time to stall because I didn't have the program up and running here, but I do. I do now. Augie, what the heck happened? Three of us here, that are here today. Tim, you didn't, did you? You went with the Bears.
Yeah, I did.
Wow. Well, two of us, Zach and I, went 2-0, and then Tim, you went 1-0, and Augie, you went 0-2.
Tim couldn't go 1-0 yet.
I went 1-1.
I'm sorry, 1-1. Yes, I'm
Boy,
sorry.
I know the computer's not working, but neither is your addition.
Well, no, here's I'm. Again, it's that multitasking thing. I did this in Microsoft Word or Excel, and then in the rest of the building, and you'll appreciate this, Tim, there's an open source out there called LibreOffice you don't have to pay for.
Oh, love it.
And so I've got that in all the other computers, and it doesn't quite match up here, so I'm kind of skipping through lines that aren't lining up, and they're over and above things. And so anyway, my mistake. The pick order this week is going to be Zach, Tim, myself, and Augie. And we're going to start out, Zach, with the Gophers at, where is that at, Augie?
Fresno State.
Fresno State, okay. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Fresno State just because the Gophers spent all that money on the heater. Did you guys hear about that?
What?
They brought in heaters to turn up the temperature because in Fresno State at game time it could be over 90 degrees.
Oh, I did hear something about that.
So they brought in all these heaters and stuff for the practice facility, and they practiced with it being over 90 degrees. They spent taxpayer money to do all that.
I'm hoping we get to do that at the middle school, too.
Wow.
Hey, go practice in the wrestling room. We'll turn up the heat there, and with 80 got kids in there,
they can row that boat right to Antarctica.
We could just practice in the AD office too. That's like a million degrees.
Oh no, it's new and improved now. New and improved.
Yeah, no, it is. I've been there. Very nice.
Tim, you're up.
Oh man, I almost want to go with Zach now because of just that one factor too, but if it would have been Fresno State from a year ago, I'd pick them, but I was at the Gopher game and they did not look that good, but of course PJ Flex says South Dakota State is that good. I'm going to still stick with the Gophers, get their running game going, so I'm going to go Gophers.
Okay, Gophers. I'm going to go with the Gophers too, Augie.
And you know what? Sometimes teams falter at the beginning of the year. Now, Zach wasn't on the air last week, and to be honest with you, I am so – hey, losing the Packers thing wasn't a big deal. That, to me, that was – I was actually going to pick the Packers, but I knew all you – I didn't mean that I picked first, Zach.
Of course. Oh, yeah. Now they won. Oh, of course you were going to pick them, right, Augie?
No, I was actually – because I think they have a better record. They do well against them.
I don't think I heard that part of the conversation last Friday. Did you, Tim?
No, I hope you saved it. We'll play it back.
Did I play it back? Did I not hesitate? Yes. But you know what I did not hesitate that was really embarrassing, Zach? I took South Florida over Wisconsin. Now, that was a bad choice.
That was a horrible choice.
Yeah, because not only did Dorian just stay on the coast, but Hurricane Badger went right into South Florida and just absolutely wiped them out.
Yeah, I don't think they made it past midfield till like the middle of the fourth quarter or something like that.
And you know what? I mean, that was so weird because South Florida was 7-0 at the beginning of last year.
Yeah.
And
it's yeah.
a good team at home. And then Zach probably doesn't know this, Tim. Tim was almost talked into picking South Florida from a guy in a Twins game.
Yeah.
That's mine.
The guy was an alumni from South Florida, and he said, mark it in the book, Wisconsin will go down. South Florida is for real. And I was like, God, this guy must know something.
Apparently not enough.
Apparently
but
not.
Anyways, get back to the Gopher game real quick. Fresno State is actually favored by 3.5 at home, so they're a pretty good team out there. So, but I agree with Tim. Just because you don't have – and South Dakota's a pretty good team, and you've seen it in the past, guys. Iowa State went 3 overtimes against Northern Iowa at home to win their game. And sometimes you don't play your best football right at the very beginning. So I think somehow, some way, the Gophers play a little bit better and they win the game. And I'm not being a homer. I just think they'll win the game.
Of course you're being one, Augie. Come on. Badgers versus Central Michigan, Zach.
Badgers.
Tim?
Oh, Badgers.
Yep, I'm going with the Badgers. Augie, I have you down for Central Michigan. Let's move on.
Yeah, right. Central Michigan. Hey, if the Badgers can win 49-0 in Florida, it's going to be an earthquake at Camp Randall. So they'll kill that team.
Oh.
Pick your spread. You know, the spread for the Wisconsin game was Wisconsin was 11 and Minnesota was 12. So this week, I don't know what the spread is for the Wisconsin game, but I'm sure it's well into the 20s.
All righty. Vikings versus Atlanta. Zach.
Let's see here. I'm going to go with the Vikings on this one.
Tim.
Yeah, so am I. I'm just, for whatever reason, I don't know why I'm not feeling the Vikings that much this year, but I'll go with the Vikings.
I'm going with the Vikings. Augie, you're going with the Vikings because you always do.
Hey, no, I do not always.
I knew I was going to be corrected on this one.
If they were in New England or in Pittsburgh or somewhere really tough, I probably would pick against them. But here's the deal. I don't know if you heard this, Zach, or you guys heard this. You know how Antonio Brown's been acting up for the
season,
right?
Yeah.
Now Julio Jones is talking about holding out the game against the Vikings.
Yeah, and
he doesn't get a contract.
In his one press conference that he had after practice the other day, he was talking about how he doesn't know if he's going to play this week or not. And people were asking, well, if he's not healthy. And he said, didn't say anything about not being healthy. He just says, I don't think I'm going to play this week.
Wow.
And I think this is an interesting thing. I heard on one of the sports talks, they said, Xavier Rhodes has shut down Julio Jones anyways, even when he has played. But Xavier Rhodes has also done very well against big receivers, but not so well against the small receivers. So they think he matches up better with a guy like Julio Jones. Not that, you know, if Julio Jones doesn't play, that still helps the Vikings. There's no doubt about that. But I just think, I think Atlanta on a down year. I just don't think they're that good this year. I know the spread's 3.5 at home, but the Vikings need to win their home game. So, yeah, I'm going to pick the Vikings. They have to win at home. I'll tell you what, Tim, we're going to do our season predictions.
Yep.
Ahead of this game. But if they lose, if the Vikings lose this game to Atlanta, boy, I don't like their season. I don't like their season this year. I don't.
No.
If they lose this first game, I don't.
No, I could have saved us 10 minutes of airtime here. Did I not say I was putting them down for the Vikings?
Yeah.
Jeez. Carolina versus the Rams. Zach, you're up.
Ooh, Carolina versus the Rams. That's going to be a very good matchup. I am going with the Rams.
Tim?
Got to go with the Rams. Yep, I agree.
Yeah, I do too. Augie?
I'm going to be different on this. I've been to Carolina. It's an extremely tough place to play. Yeah, the Rams have a lot of offense, and they gave Jared Goff way too much money, as far as I'm concerned. I realize some people think when quarterbacks, if they get all that money, that it's not a lot. But I just think if it wasn't for his coach, the predicament that he's in or whatever, the structure that he's in, he wouldn't, I just don't think he would be that great. I think you're going to see him fall off, just like RG3 and all these other guys in the past. I just don't think he's that good. I just think he has talent around him. But Carolina's tough at home, very tough at home. I'm taking Carolina.
I think Carolina has a chance only depending on what Cam Newton shows up to play.
I agree. Okay.
I would agree, too, and that guy has taken a beating over the years.
Yes, he has.
But it usually means he's pretty good at the beginning of the year, but then by the end of the year, he can barely walk.
Ooh.
You know, but you saw how New England shut down the Rams in the Super Bowl. Well, you don't think the other coaches don't copy that? You know, and I'll tell you what, Carolina has a great defense. They really
do. Yeah, they
do.
Yep.
So it's going to be a great game. The Rams are favored by 2 at home. So in North Carolina, I mean.
Okay.
Favored by 2. So. All right.
All righty. So you went with Augie.
I'm going with Carolina.
You went with Carolina. Okay. Our predictions, pick order this year will be Augie, Zach, Tim, and myself. Augie, since I was first last year, I go to the bottom of the list. Augie, your prediction for the 1920 Viking season?
I think they're going to be, 11-5. I think they'll be 11-5. I think they'll win almost all their home games, and they'll be maybe .500 on the road. I just think the Lions aren't a very good team. I think they could sweep them twice. And even though the Packers played very good defense yesterday, I was not impressed with their offense. So they're going to have to pick it up. And Aaron Rodgers looked good, but he didn't look great like he normally does. So I thought it was kind of a different-looking Packer team than I've seen in the past. So we'll see. But their defense has definitely improved, unless the Bears' offense is really that bad. So,
okay, Zachary.
I'm going to say the Vikings will be 9-7.
Ooh, okay. Tim?
That's what I was going to take.
Oh,
you still can.
That's true. I'll go 10-6 then. I just I don't know why. Although I do agree with if the run game can get going a little bit better, I do think that'll help them. But I think when you shuffle in and out so many kickers that you don't even give the kickers confidence, and that could be a weakness just from psychological there too. And we all know you do need that kicker. So I'm going to go 10-6.
Dang it! My first pick would have been 9-7. My second one was going to be 10-6.
You could do both. You could split the pot. Two people could pay for lunch.
Well,
the same.
Well, three people are going to pay for lunch. I thought that's the way we did it.
No, but let's say you pick 9-7, right?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
If
yeah,
you're right. Both, looks like Tim and I owe both of you lunch.
You could do 9-6-1.
Yeah, I could. Yeah. What the HE double hockey sticks would the chances of that happening, Zach? Wow, get rid of your competition before they even say. Wow. So I could either go 12, I could either go 12 and 4.
Go 8-8.
I could go, you know, that's what I was thinking I was going to try. I'm going to go 8-8. So there we go. Picks are set for the season. Gentlemen,
okay,
we have about three and a half minutes or so to finish up here.
Okay, now when I was talking about the Falcons game, the first game, and I truly believe this, if they don't play well at home and win this game against the Falcons, because I didn't think we were a very good home team last year. I think that's why we were around .500. We're getting crushed by the Bills at home, and we have controlled Atlanta recently. But it's hard to, like everybody knows, it's hard to beat a team like three times. I think we played them twice last year, or the end of last. I can't remember, but there wasn't that far apart since they played each other, and now they're playing each other again this year. But I think if they lose this game, Tim, I think Dan is the one that has the best chance to win the 8-8. I just think that game, even though it's the first game, means that much, because I don't think Kirk Cousins, the little bit he's played in preseason, has looked good at all.
No, he's looked horrible.
So.
Yeah, no, I don't even know if I watch more than 10 minutes of preseason, but I just don't have for whatever reason. Again, I think it comes back to you shuffle in 3 to 4 different kickers. It's just sending a message that I have no confidence in our kicking game, you know, whatsoever, and I think that could take a big hit down the road. I guess I was, the one thing that changed my mind a little bit, I agree with you, Augie, Aaron Rodgers, he looked average last night. Now, I mean, the Bears' defense is good, but he looked average, and maybe it's because his receivers are average. I don't know.
Yeah, well, they had Devontae Adams, and like you said, the Bears' front is very good. I mean, they sacked him a lot last night. The way the game started, it looked like, you know, if the Bears, with the field position, the Bears might kill him. But they couldn't move the ball. I was very impressed with the Packers. And Dave Sinekin, who's on KFAN, you know, with Paul Allen and them guys, was talking about how improved, you know, their defense was, the Packers' defense was. But then he's a homer, just like me, just like Paul Allen is. So you don't know what's true and what's not. But the Bears have struggled with the Packers forever. They just, even when the Bears have had better teams, they've always struggled with the Packers. For some reason, it's in their head. It just seems like it. And I thought Trubisky looked horrible yesterday.
Yeah, he didn't look good either. I mean, and, well, that's why the score of the game was what it was.
Yeah, it was, you know, like I told Barb, I said it was 7-3. She goes, what'd you think of the Packer game? I go, it's like listening to the Tim Collins show.
Oh, my gosh.
Just kidding, Tim. Just giving you crap, you know.
Yeah, well.
But
I can only carry Dan so far during the show.
That's true.
That's right. Yeah, today that is, there's no truer statement than that today, that's for sure.
He was clicking you on.
And because I physically wasn't at the radio station today, I just couldn't help him out.
See, last week you did want to bring up the Twins real quick. Who has the best? Is it Zach? Did you say 20 games over?
You know, I had that stuff ready last week, Augie.
I think I did say 20 games over.
Yeah, I think Zach was leading it. I mean, you are basically, I think they're 34 games over right now. If I'm not mistaken, I just looked at it a little bit ago. They're 30-something.
Yeah, it's 30. It's 34.
Yeah, so they basically could lose every single game from here on out, and Zach would win. So I think we're going to owe Zach, guys.
Yeah, I pardon the pun, but I know my prediction wasn't even in the ballpark because I did not think they were going to do well this year at all. But it's crazy how we know some of the names now, because when they're hitting home runs, you remember who they are.
Here we go. Zach, 16 and over. Tim, 5 under. Augie, 5 over. I was 500, and Nick Tuckner was 8 over.
Wow. You won it easily. Easily, a 16 over. You won it easily. And that's a good thing. I'd rather pay lunch and see the Twins make the playoffs, and the Indians have been losing, so... they're only a couple, their magic number is like 14 or something like that, or probably even less than that now, but, or whatever it is to clinch the division.
It would be a fun atmosphere to go to the game this evening. Beautiful night. Cleveland's in town tonight, aren't they?
Yep, I'm going to the game tomorrow night.
Oh, that.
Are you?
Yep.
That'll be a good time.
You bet. With that, gentlemen, I have to run. We're already into the news. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend. We'll do this again next week, same time, same place.
All right.
Time for M&N He's News in Progress.
For Matthews, who was relieved of his military duties over allegations of his involvement with neo-Nazis. His pickup was found abandoned just a few miles north of the U.S. border, not far from Roseau, earlier this week.